Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys the Movies. And this week we're talking about not Watchmen.
We're not talking, well, we are going to talk about Watchmen.
Well,
but not it's extensively. Not
out, so I'm sad.
Yeah.
Well,
but we do have a couple movies to talk about, right?
You can deal with it. Jeez Louise,
I'm not
man.
Dealing you're very letting, well with it. Okay?
The fact that you got, it's not that they bumped the release date. You're like, oh, I got to wait another week.
Yeah. Well, here's what makes me really sad is that we got a listener call from Macal in Austin, which is where I live, who already saw Watchmen, which I did not.
Wait, so, is he the guy who like reviewed The Incredible Hulk last year?
Yeah, he reviewed The Hulk for us last year.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, very cool guy. He, obviously saw the film here in Austin long before it came out. So, I'm sad about that I didn't get invited to that screening. But anyways, we're going to play that for you next week on the show, his review, along with our reviews. We're not going to record our reviews. We're just do them in the magical virtual studio in the sky.
Yeah.
Does any of this make sense?
Yes, it makes sense, and thanks to McCallum for sending us the review. The only reason we're just not going to play, because right now, what's the point of reviewing it now?
Right.
Aside from the fact, I mean, we're giving you credit. You were the first one to give us a review, so
yes,
rock
indeed.
On, man.
But we'll play that for you next week. In the meantime, we're going to talk about Street Fighter and Kevin's favorite movie of the spring, the Jonas Brothers.
What are you talking about?
And what?
You're the one who's going to use it to pick up chicks.
Don't
we have to tell people how to get a hold of
it? I don't need it to pick up chicks.
Yeah, you and your neck beard usually does that for yourself.
Anyways, to answer the question that you were about to ask, you can get a hold of us. You can go over to fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Just go to iTunes, search Fat Guys the Movies. And when you see our awesome logo, you'll want to subscribe.
Yes.
You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. Apparently, a few of our readers have figured out how to do that. So,
well, maybe the listeners have.
Yeah.
Yes. Since they don't really read the site.
Well, whatever they are. You guys know what you are. You don't need me to tell you.
Speaking of picking up chicks, since we got past that whole thing. No, you were talking about picking up chicks with your neck beard and everything. Do you watch Scrubs?
I've watched old episodes of Scrubs.
Wow, you really had to think about that one, didn't you?
I didn't realize it
was going to be that difficult of
a
question.
It's a complicated question. Do you watch Scrubs? It's like,
can you give me the quadratic equation?
If there was a quiz coming. I mean, when you ask somebody like that, hey, do you watch Scrubs? All right, answer these 10 questions in 30 seconds.
It's never happened in my life.
It's happened to me, and it frightens me. So.
Anyways, you watched old episodes. You haven't watched it this season.
I couldn't put storylines together. I don't even really know the characters' names, but it's funny.
Okay, well, there's this new intern doctor, and she's played by, I don't remember the girl's name, but she's really hot. And her character has a fetish for fat dudes.
Yeah.
So, and she's rocking hot, too. I mean, she's smoking. So I just thought I'd mention that. Say, at least it exists in... This fantasy exists at least outside of mainstream porn.
At least it exists in fiction.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Well, it's existed
in fiction.
Wait,
what's the fantasy? She likes chubby guys.
She likes chubby dudes.
Yeah, she likes chubby dudes. There are coincidentally girls out there who are okay with guys who are A, chubby, and B, bearded. I've found.
And they don't care about the junk in the trunk. They say the junk in the gut.
Yeah, well, and also, in that rare instance that you find one of those girls who's also totally geeky about movies, you better
kidnap her and tie her up in your basement because you're never going to let her go.
That, too. You do what you need to do, I guess. So, anyways.
I'm out of it today. I have to apologize to the listening audience, all 7 of our listeners, including McCallum, who already saw Watchmen. I'm not feeling well today. Mm-hmm. We did an episode like a year ago or so, and it was called Sick and Tired because you were sick and I was tired, and I actually fell asleep.
Oh, right, yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a handle on both of those. I'm sick and tired right now.
Well, excellent. I guess I'm going to have to carry the comedic weight here, which I always do anyways, so
no,
we should be
fine.
No,
you don't. No, you don't.
Anyways, can we talk about this movie? Are we going to do a movie thing, or are we just going to talk about
ramble?
How Kevin's sick and tired?
Kevin's sick and tired, and Neil likes girls who like him. That made no sense. See, my
I suppose
edge is
that's
completely
true.
Off. My edge is completely off. I am out of it right now. You're gonna have a field day on this.
You just bummed. And speaking of potential bums, here comes Street Fighter: The Legend of Chun-Li, a new a new Street Fighter flick sort of reboots the series that never got off the ground in the 1980s.
In life, there is beauty, and there is terror. One must not overwhelm the other. To embrace both, you'll need the strength of a warrior, the stealth of a predator, and the wisdom of a master. Once you have found your power, you must decide what you fight for.
Can I correct that description? I think it was the 1990s.
Really? Was that the one? Was Jean-Claude Van Damme in that, or was
Van
he in
Damme
Double
was
Dragon?
In the. It was 1994.
Was that how late it was? Yes. Gosh, I was thinking it was.
But Street Fighter 1, the video game. No, Street Fighter 1 came out in the '80s, I believe.
Was there another video game? Not the movie. Well, the video game's a hit. I mean, then.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. You know. How many video games turned to movies have done well? Is it like just Mortal Kombat? Is like that it?
I don't know. Every Uwe Boll movie has been a classic.
Well, that too. It's absolutely
right. I don't know. Well, I could run you down a couple things that I can see that probably could go right with this movie.
What's her name? Lana Lang from Smallville in
Tight
Pants?
Yeah, Kristen Crook in Tight Pants. That usually works. Justin Marks, the screenwriter, is actually a pretty solid screenwriter. I haven't written
anything. What's he done before? Hannah Montana movie?
Hold on. IMDb is loading. He did nothing, but I've read his scripts. I've actually read his Supermax script, which was pretty good.
That's the Green Arrow movie, isn't that?
Yes. And he also wrote the Voltron script, which was surprisingly good.
Why do you bother reading scripts? Do you have to do that? Because
I really just don't have anything better to do.
Oh, okay. We don't have a review for this one because they didn't show it to us. It's Fox withheld the screenings from everybody.
But can I put it into perspective for you? Sure.
I thought that was putting it in perspective.
No. As you know, I'm on Twitter. And
you can't say that on the radio.
Oh, yes, we can. We've discussed Alex Billington, my good friend from firstshowing.net before, and his sheer love of everything. I mean, the kid
loves every movie.
Every single movie.
He liked The Love Guru, didn't he?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think he saw The Love Guru, so it got
You
passed.
Liked The Love Guru.
I did. But he Twittered or tweeted or whatever you call it that it was terrible. So terrible, in fact, that he wanted to punch Chris Klein in the face the next day at the junket.
Is he starring in it too?
Yeah, Chris Klein, the guy from American Pie, that other guy from American Pie.
I noticed he didn't threaten to punch like Michael Clark Duncan in the face.
Well, you wouldn't. Obviously.
I'm so mad. I've seen Alex. He probably would lose in a fight from
to
Michael.
Chris
Klein. Michael
I mean, Chris
Clark,
Klein's a big guy. So
Chris Klein would easily take him, but Michael Clark Duncan could like, you know, blow a booger on him and it would knock Alex over.
Right. If you're into booger to hand combat.
Hey, it's safe.
I suppose it is.
From the delivering end.
So this one gets a preemptive suck. Because
totally
why? Because they didn't show it to either one of us. They didn't show it in Austin. If it's going to go well anywhere, it's going to go well in Austin, right?
Yeah. Well, I think look at the pedigree.
Yeah.
Video game movies and no Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You've been warned. We'll be back. And we're back on Fat Guys at the Movies. Now that we've warned you about Street Fighter, the unscreenable video game adaptation, it is time to move on to a movie that, even though we didn't see it in advance, we know it's going to be
an experience. It's an experience.
Yes, it is the Jonas Brothers, the 3D concert experience, in which it uses the 3D technology, or you can use the 3D technology to experience a Jonas Brothers concert so close that you'd swear you could feel the sweat fling from their brows. That is the most disgusting description ever.
You'll ever find anywhere.
Nick, Joe, and Kevin like you've never seen them before on the big screen in Disney Digital 3D.
The coolest part about this movie is the fact that it's not just the performance sequences that you see. It's the things behind the scenes that really stood out to us.
This movie really makes you feel like you're on stage with us.
And all the stuff that you see in the film is very real. You'll see that we really are a family.
Showtime! Oh, gosh.
Now, this one is not screened for the critics or public at all. But I'm not surprised.
Because they don't care.
Well, they don't care. And it's in like 1,000 theaters. It's... It's the same sort of template as that Miley Cyrus Hannah Montana concert they did last year in 3D. And I remember talking to the rep. I'm like, hey, are they going to screen this? And she's like, it's already sold out for like the whole week. So no. And why would they? And I'm like, fair enough. I mean, because see, like Street Fighter, that's just stupid to not screen a movie because you're like, I don't want bad reviews. But like Jonas Brothers, they make total sense to not screen that or the Miley Cyrus thing because they're kind of like, you don't see a whole lot of 11-year-old girls searching on the internet trying to find that first spoiler review of the Jonas Brothers concert.
I don't know. There's a lot of 11-year-old girls that read Fat Guys at the Movies.
Nobody reads Fat Guys at the Movies. It's an audio site, dude.
Oh, that too. I guess that would prove difficult.
Yeah, well, they read it and then they don't click the audio.
Yes, exactly. I mean, they read the description of what we said, and they're like, oh, I get it.
Oh, yeah. He said it sucked. Oh, my God. So
nice.
I don't know what to say about
that. That was a really good impression of an 11-year-old girl, by the way.
Well, 11-year-old girl who probably went through puberty 2 or 3 times.
As a man.
Yeah.
Anyway, so preemptive suck for the Jonas Brothers. If you're listening to this and you're angry about that particular rating, you probably shouldn't be listening to this.
Well, I mean, it's
if you're like, what? No way. Jonas Brothers are totally rocks.
Well, here's the thing with the Jonas Brothers concert. If you go to this movie and you hate it, you deserve everything you get.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me. I mean, it's like, and I'm going to use it. We're talking a lot about Watchmen, even though we're not talking about Watchmen. But like Watchmen, if you haven't read the graphic novel, you don't know anything about it. I could see somebody going to see Watchmen and just not quite know what they're in for.
Right.
Because, you know, they think superhero movie and they don't notice the R rating or whatever. Jonas Brothers, you get exactly what you deserve, everything you get if you go see this movie, you know. And hate it.
Totally.
I'm taking my kids. My kids want to see it. They like the 3D stuff. So
cool, man.
But they're
very
sweaty.
Can we talk about another movie real quick?
Sure.
There is another one coming out that I think it's interesting to talk about. Have you heard of this, Crossing Over?
Well, yeah, but they're not...
With Harrison Ford?
Isn't it like playing in like Honolulu and that's it?
Well, no, it's limited release. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, it is limited release.
Is it playing in opening... Austin?
No, it's not opening in Austin, but it is opening in some markets. Yeah. I can't exactly tell you where, but it involves Harrison Ford playing a Border Patrol cop.
Yeah. Does he have a whip
and it's
and
like
a fedora?
It's like Crash... meets what was that Richard Linklater movie?
Slacker?
About immigration.
Oh, Fast Food Nation?
Yeah. So it's basically Crash meets Fast Food Nation meets Ray Liotta's in it. And that's all that matters.
It meets a honey manufacturer.
Yeah.
Do you get that joke?
So, yeah, it's from B-Movie.
B-Movie, that's right.
Ray Liotta, honey.
Ray Liotta.
What's the deal with that? Yeah. Anyways, what are we talking about next? The Oscars? Are we going to Oscar it up, Kevin?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap up the Oscars?
Let's wrap
up
the Oscars.
In a bow? Let me tell you this. If you took Jessica Biel's dress off, it would serve two purposes. One, Jessica Biel would have no dress on.
That'd be awesome.
And two, you could wrap up the world because she came inappropriately dressed to the world's most flamboyant toga party.
It's like she's like... was in the middle of the shower and was like, oh, crap, the Oscars start at 8.
Right, and she wrapped herself in a big silk towel made by some...
I could fit in that dress with her. I think that was the point.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was huge.
I think she was sending me a message, like that stalker from David Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was sending me a message, and it was, Kevin, come here and climb in my dress with me. Nice. And I'd walk in, I'd get in there, it'd be like a clown car. There'd be like 17 other people in there.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear what you thought of the Oscars. the entire thing.
Well, here, this is the thing that
irritates. Because I didn't read your article that you posted on Film School Rejects.
My general irritation with it was, they're like, ooh, we're shaking things up, we're doing things different, blah, 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 blah. And you go and watch it, it was pretty much the same as every other ceremony. I mean, they had a couple things that shook things up, but like Hugh Jackman's song and dance at the beginning, while I thought was cute, was basically what Billy Crystal would do with props. So right. That wasn't terribly new. The biggest shakeup was the fact that they brought out five former award recipients to give the best actor categories. And I thought that was cool, a bit of a love fest. But was it just me, or did it just come to a screeching halt whenever they came to a best actor or a best actress category?
Yeah, kind of, because Sophia Loren wasn't on stage.
Oh my God, what happened to her? She fell off the...
She's still very hot.
Really? In what world? I mean, maybe for
the world where people are plastic.
Yeah, well, not even. She's like...
Yeah, oh yeah, plastic.
She looks... I've never been a big Sophia Loren fan to begin with.
I was a big fan. Remember when Grumpier Old Men came out?
Yeah.
She was in that. Oh my God, she was a hot older lady in that.
Yeah, and then her face exploded and she sewed it back together with super glue.
Right. Wow. And saran wrap.
My other big beef with the Oscars was they had this thing where they were like, Peter Gabriel, you can come in and have 15 seconds to sing your song. And he's like, no, screw that, I'm not going to do it. And they're like, oh, no, because we need to have the time and blah, 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 blah. And then they have this 18-minute dance and song and dance number with Beyonce. And as much as I love watching Beyonce shake her booty, it was completely irrelevant because he's like declaring the musical's back. And I'm like, wasn't the musical back when it won the Academy Award like 6 years ago with Chicago?
Yeah, I guess.
And then all the song and music from that was like from old musical. It wasn't even from the modern musical, like from Hairspray.
This is slightly on topic. Did you watch the Independent Spirit Awards?
No.
By chance?
I don't watch any
awards. Those were funny. So. They did these stupid, like, pop dances. Like, Rainn Wilson came out and sang this song about the wrestler for all the Best Picture nominees.
Wow.
And it was the most ridiculous thing ever.
Was it like the German psychotronic dance for The Reader at the beginning of the Oscars?
Kind of, yeah. Exactly. It was kind of like that, but it was kind of like funny songs.
Yeah.
And I thought that was way better than the Oscars. Yeah.
And then I thought...
You know, I mean, the Oscars have to keep it classy.
Well, the Oscars, again, it's 4 hours long. Do you need to be 4 hours? And what the deal was with this guy, the people in the... I always hate the fashion stuff because they're like, oh, look at this dress you're wearing. That looks exactly the same as everybody else's. You know, last year everybody had a giant feather.
Right.
This year everybody had a sash.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was okay.
You know what I liked about the Oscars? Here's what I thought was good.
Hugh Jackman.
I liked Hugh Jackman was a good host.
But he like disappeared for like an hour. He went out to get a sandwich.
But you know, I thought like the thing he did with Anne Hathaway was kind of cool, and you know, that was all kind of fun. And there was also the way that they did like some of the technical awards, like screenwriting.
I'll give you that. The set design
that was
on that.
Cool.
Oh yeah.
The And that was cool. Well, also, anytime I can see Tina Fey, I'm in, you know, good spirits.
Yeah.
So, you know, overall, I thought it was good. Now, we should also talk about what we thought about the winners so that I can gloat about the fact that I love Slumdog Millionaire.
Well, you know what else I have to say is I am convinced Danny Boyle is a leprechaun.
He might be.
Because every time they cut to a shot of him,
Danny Boyle is a leprechaun and Martin Scorsese is a Muppet.
Well, that's true. But every time they cut to Danny Boyle, he was like grinning and wringing his hands, being like, ah, ha, ha, give me my Lucky Charms back.
Give me my gold.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, but I'm also very happy for Slumdog Millionaire. It deserved to win a lot.
Yeah, it was good.
And for all those people that were mad about The Dark Knight, it probably wouldn't have won anyways.
Totally wouldn't have won.
So, and then I thought, you know, for the most part, it was pretty predictable. I don't know if you heard about my 100%, I selected 100% right.
I seem to doubt that, considering you're saying Amy Adams was going to win Best Supporting.
I didn't actually pick that.
Oh, whatever.
I picked whoever won.
You even got, like...
I have people that were on
the... Are you telling
me
you even got, like, short film documentary?
Oh, yeah, totally.
No, you didn't.
I
totally don't believe you.
I have people who are on the FSR yacht who can verify that for me.
Yeah.
Yes, we were on a yacht.
I don't believe you. I don't care. I just don't believe you.
Fair enough. Anyways, I think we have to go to a break here in a second. When we come back, we're going to talk about box office. We're going to give you our Fat Guy 5 most anticipated films that are coming soon.
Hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. Here we are for our middle segment. If we, there wasn't enough filler earlier because we only had two movies and neither of them we got to see.
So now we're going to present for you some other crap.
Yeah, we're going to talk box office first.
Oh, sweet.
So let's see, box office. Is it anyone's surprise that Madea's Family Reunion, or I'm sorry, Madea Goes to Jail, beat The Weeknd? But I think what's interesting is it didn't just beat The Weeknd, it demolished
it
The Weeknd.
It beat it like it stole something.
Yeah, I mean, it beat it like a Southern husband.
It beat
you know?
It like
I mean,
Madea would beat you if you crossed her, which you shouldn't. Cause that
she
would
wouldn't beat you, she'd just shoot you.
Really?
Yeah.
See, she's hardcore. And this is why she won the box office. $41 million.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. Very happy to see Coraline sticking in there. Not bad
well,
for an animated film.
It'll be curious to see if it takes a hit this weekend because it's being pulled from
the
3D.
All the 3D theaters have been taken over by the Jonas Brothers.
That's right. And Friday the 13th took a tumble. Not a big surprise. I mean, considering it was like a $20 million movie and it's already made like 50-some million dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So, Fired Up did okay. Actually, it was considered to do worse. It was only predicted to do like $4 million, and it made 5.5. Even though it came in number 9,
mm-hmm.
It will be quickly replaced by Street Fighter, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also vented on Film School Rejects about Brandon Gray from BoxOfficeMojo.com, who basically pundits love to compare movies and say, oh, as far as romantic comedies go, or as far as Nazi werewolf movies go, or whatever, you know. And he was like, oh, comparing Madea Goes to Jail to other fat suit comedies,
mm-hmm.
which is just, right. it's just dumb. I mean,
it's just idiotic.
Yeah. I mean,
it totally sucks.
Yeah. He's like, had Mrs. Doubtfire in there. I mean, are you going to put the Santa Claus in there too?
You might.
Yeah.
Doubtfire was the best fat suit comedy, by the way. Just in case you were wondering.
Yeah, probably. I mean that's a narrow genre. You can't.
I don't
exactly
know Martin Lawrence. That's like the only genre he dominates.
Well,
except
yeah.
buddy cop comedies with Will Smith in them.
Will Smith. He was an idiot at the Oscars too. I mean, here's a guy who gets paid $20 million, and he can't even read off a doggone teleprompter.
Although he did say "Boom Goes the Dynamite," I feel like that does kind of bring it back a little. Personally,
yeah,
that helps me.
Yeah, I don't know. But the thing is, I mean, this is the thing that irritates me about Will Smith. He just comes in, he's like, hey, I'm cool. And I'm just going to like urban up this language because I'm Will Smith and this is what I do. And I'm like, nobody urban's watching this. They're all
Did
going to see
Did you say urban up this language?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
actually, it was more like a geek
term.
Up thing because it was kind of like the internet geeks wouldn't recognize that because it's from a popular YouTube video.
No, the Boom Goes the Dynamite wasn't his geek up. I don't know. I have no respect for actors who get paid $20 million who can't follow a teleprompter.
And or can't improv well.
Yeah. Yeah. And their improv makes them sound like an idiot.
Okay. So, well, I guess.
There you
that's,
go.
You know, whatever. I totally disagree, but moving on.
Unlike Ben Stiller, who was brilliant.
Ben Stiller, he's funny. He's always pretty funny. Steve Martin, also very funny. Why are we still talking about the Oscars? Didn't we leave that
you?
In the last segment?
Because of you. What do you think is going to win the weekend next this week?
The Jonas Brothers, I think, is the obvious choice.
You don't think that... it's only in like 1,200 theaters.
Yeah, but it's like already sold
room.
Out until next Christmas, so...
Is it really?
I think it's gonna go Jonas Brothers, Madea, and Taken. And also... maybe even Slumdog Millionaire in the top three, because Slumdog's adding 700 theaters this week.
Slumdog
and
will do...
It'll get the bump. It'll get that Best Picture bump.
Yeah, Slumdog will get a bump, and much more than anything else is going to get. But,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not exactly sure whether... I wouldn't put it past Madea to win. again, right. simply because he's got an audience out there, and they love that stuff.
Yes.
I didn't particularly like the movie, but
hey, man,
there you go.
You know, it's not for you. That's the best way I can describe it. Is it's not for you, Kevin Carr?
No, it totally isn't. You know, and while I don't like Tyler Perry's movie, I respect the heck out of him for finding an audience and exploiting it to the full extent of the law.
Fair enough. Moving on. Time to talk about the Fat Guy Five. We're bringing it back. Yes. This is our first list in a while, man. We haven't done a whole lot of listiness lately, but we should, you know, bring it back. But this is the five most anticipated films of the near future, I guess.
Yeah. Coming soon, in roughly the chronological order.
Yeah, well, and I guess this is like our next five most anticipated films. Like the five that we can't wait for that are coming out. So should we start at the bottom? And I'll even start, because that one's mine.
Start with one.
Oh, start with number one, because it comes out next week.
Because we know what it is. Everyone's going to guess.
Number one is Watchmen, because awesome.
You know what, though? I will say this. I have recently, as in like finished like within the last hour or so, I've recently reread the graphic novel. I read it once back like in the late 80s. Not too long after it came out,
right?
And then I finished it again, and I have to say that I was talking to one of the program directors for one of the stations that I do movie reviews for. He was totally anxious for it. He's like, I don't know how they're going to be able to adapt it, and because there's so much there. After reading it, I'm like, yeah, they can. There's a lot of talking in this book that they can just get rid of.
Yeah,
you know, like all the pirate comic book stuff. And
well, yeah, and I think it's what's very cool, you know, we've been following the production pretty closely, and you know, we did some junket stuff with them, and it's what I think is really cool is that Zack Snyder he kind of goes both ways. Like, they're doing the DVD release of the Black Freighter, which is the big sub story, and you know, they filmed, there's going to be a director's cut that's going to come out that's going to be much longer than the film, and so I think they did you know, at least they're trying to do a good job of getting it down to the level where anyone could walk in and know what the heck is going on. But also they kind of prepared for a really awesome DVD release that's going to speak right to that hardcore fan base, which I think it's, you know, that's tough to do no matter what you're adapting, especially Watchmen, which everyone's always said Watchmen's the toughest graphic novel to adapt, you know. Well, it's the holy grail, essentially, for the fans. Yeah,
it's like adapting Lord of the Rings. I mean, the fans. Yeah. There's so much you cut. I remember talking to fans of the books, Lord of the Rings, and they're like, "Oh, they took this out and they took this out and they didn't have this." And I'm like, "I didn't miss it, and I thought they were too long to begin with," you know. So with Watchmen, I would say, because if you don't know, it was originally a 12 issue maxi series,
right,
in comic book form. And I actually have the original comics. I have the first printing of the original comics. That's what I read.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't cracked those open in like 20 years.
Wow.
So it was kind of cool to experience it from a comic book geek level, to experience it, with the original books. But it was 12 issues. About 80% of that is backstory and filler, and the action and the plot, so to speak.
Yeah.
Is relatively simple, actually. You can you can take a half hour and explain who each character is, and then just boop, move forward into the story, and you're going to miss a lot of the luster from the comic books. And because if you also didn't know, in the back of the book, every book has like text segments. It has like a reprint from one of the heroes. Tell-all book, and it has, you know, the arrest report for one of the heroes and all this kind of thing, and you can read that or you could skip over it, and it enriches the story, but it's not necessary to read.
Right. I mean, it's just the thing about Watchmen, and that's why everybody's, you know, that's why it's been such a weird, it's taken so long to develop, is there's so much depth to it. So I guess that makes it even harder when you think about what could you take out to make a mainstream, you know, accessible movie.
Yeah.
And also not totally, you know, make your fan base run and hide. which I think is, you know, it's tough. And so far from what I've heard is that it accomplishes what it sets out to do for the fans, at least.
I have faith in Zack Snyder. I think
he did a great job with 300.
The biggest stumbling point it's going to have, in my opinion, is the casting. Because Malin Ackerman's a terrible actress, and she's playing a pivotal role. And Matthew Good, while a great actor, it just doesn't quite seem
to. You think Malin Ackerman's a terrible actress? That's
she's a terrible actress. Oh, my word.
I think she's hot.
Oh, she's hot.
That's a good place to start.
But, you know, like Megan Fox, hot, terrible actress. You know,
are you kidding? I mean, Megan Fox is the quintessential actress of our time.
What are you? How many beers did you have before?
I had
you did
a lot.
But Matthew Good, I think, is a good actor. Matthew Good is a good actor. I don't see him pulling off Night Owl, though. That's the thing. But then they've got good ones. Like, I think, you know, Billy Crudup's going to be good as Dr. Manhattan, and Jackie Earle Haley is going to be awesome as Rorschach.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I think Jackie Earle Haley is like the best casting for Watchmen.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, let's move on.
We should probably talk about some other movies, right? Whatever. Yeah. Number two is Star Trek.
Yes. I'm actually very excited about this now. Originally, I wasn't sold, mm-hmm. but I've seen some of the trailers, and I have to say, Zoe Zendella taking her shirt off.
Zeldana.
Whatever. I don't care what her name is.
Doesn't matter. Not important.
I just care she's hot.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm
sold on this one.
I guess I'm kind of excited about Star. I'm excited to see what happens. You know, I mean, I'm not a huge Star Trek fan, though I have watched, you know, some of the original series, and I do think Star Trek is very cool.
Yeah.
But I'm not attached to it. So I won't be offended if it's this huge, gaudy CG fest. In fact, that'll make it even better for me. If it's, you know, if it's less science and more CGI explosions.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, well, it was never a lot of science.
Well, you know, less faith to the original series.
Yeah. I think it'll be good, so. But number three, let's move on.
Number three is Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is going to be, can I say badass? Yes, I can.
Oh, I guess you just did. No, I think it's going to be cool. I like Wolverine. I've liked all three X-Men movies. There was a big debate on Film School Rejects about the quality of X-Men 3. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and somebody's like, everybody hated it. I'm like, I didn't hate it. It still made like $150 million, so.
Yeah. Well, and I think Wolverine will be pretty good. It's got some cool, it's bringing some cool characters into the fold. So as long as it's not too campy and too cheesy, then we'll be just fine.
All right. Real quick, next two.
Monsters vs. Aliens. I love 3D.
3D will be awesome.
And then I Love You, Man. Apparently because Neil's gay.
Yeah. I guess. That's one, I don't know if I'd call that. That's going to be like Forgetting Sarah Marshall, where it's going to be funny, but not awesome.
I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty funny. It's Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd's
always pretty funny. I think somehow we're going to see Jason Segel's penis.
Somehow. Anyways, time to go to break. When we come back, DVD roundup, and we'll get you out of here safely. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys the Movies. Bringing it on the home stretch. We've already done all of our reviews. Well, we didn't really have to do any reviews this week.
There were no reviews whatsoever. It was all previews because they didn't show us anything.
There's that. And we talked about movies that are coming up and talked at length about Watchmen. So if you missed it, which I have no idea how you would miss it if you've gotten this far, you might want to rewind and go back.
Well, if you're listening to us on some stations, don't play the middle segment because we're just on a half hour block. Yeah. Sometimes.
That's dumb.
So if you are hearing this, you can go back to fatguysatthemovies.com.
Those stations are not my favorite now.
Oh, don't get in trouble.
I'm not saying anything bad. They're just not my favorite. My favorite are the ones that play the whole show.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Okay. Well, hey, I'll see you in about 27 hours, which is how long it takes to drive here.
I will be in Texas this spring, so I will punch
you
in the face then.
Well, hey, you can owe me one.
All right.
But anyways, before we get to that, let's do the DVD roundup. Oh, wow.
What?
Yours look good. Tell me what yours are.
Okay. These are actually older picks. I do want to give a little bit of shout out to some of these DVDs that I've since gotten, and they're really awesome. The first one came out couple weeks ago when the Pink Panther came out,
right?
And in anticipation for it, it is the Pink Panther cartoon collection. It's all 192 episodes of the Pink Panther cartoon in a box set. It's got like 9 discs to it.
It's Pink Panther in a box.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it is an awesome selection, because it would literally take you all day to watch them. It's 20 hours of Pink Panther cartoons.
Wow.
And they go through everything. They go through the Ant and the Aardvark cartoons. They go through the Inspector Clouseau cartoons. They go all the way into the 70s, and I think there's even one from the 80s from the theatrical release cartoons. So that's pretty deep, man. That's pretty sweet.
I agree.
Another one I want to point out is Dead Like Me, the complete collection.
Mm-hmm.
Was it HBO or Showtime? I forget what network it was on, but it was a cable show, Dead Like Me, about this girl who dies because a toilet seat from the mirror falls and kills her.
Right.
And she becomes a Grim Reaper.
Awesome.
And it's really a quirky, bizarre series. They had two seasons of it, and they've re-released them in a box set with the new Dead Like Me movie, mm-hmm. Life After Death, which is all in one box set, so you can pick that up. And what's nice about it is it's only 2 seasons you got to catch up on. It's not like having to watch 5 seasons of 24, 5 mm-hmm. or 6 or 7 seasons of 24 before you continue. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then finally, the third one I want to mention is Alien Raiders, mm-hmm. which is from Raw Feed Video, which is a division of Warner Brothers. And it's basically a hostage situation in a convenience store or a grocery store, where there are alien monsters and people that are trying to escape. It's pretty cool.
Okay. I'm down, I guess.
Those are my three.
Excellent. I have 3 as well, in addition to your 3. The first one is Dear Zachary, which we've talked about on the show before. The single saddest movie ever.
Yes.
So if you need a good cry, just get that one. You'll be fine.
It is heartwarming and infuriating.
It is. And there is kind of a hopefulness to it, but you will cry.
Yeah. For anyone who says Canada has a superior legal system,
not so much. Another movie that'll probably make you cry, but probably more likely from laughter, is Sex Drive, which I think we could almost concur was one of the most surprising comedies of last year.
Yeah, it did not do well, but it was very funny.
It looked like it was going to be terrible, but turned out to be very, very funny.
You know who stole the movie? James Marsden.
James Marsden did an okay. Clark Duke was also very good.
Was that his friend?
Yeah, he played the friend. So, and if you're wondering what we're talking about, just go rent the movie.
Yeah.
Finally, Futurama Into the Wild Green Yonder on Blu-ray was very cool, especially if you're a Futurama fan and you missed the series and... this is the only way that you can get more Futurama. So,
well, they did 4 movies, and I think this was the 4th movie they did.
Yep.
So we'll see. It should do well, because I know it's done well sales wise. They've been popular among the fans.
Yeah,
so.
And people like that Futurama. I think it's funny. I mean, it's one of the more intelligent workplace comedies out there.
So. I don't like Futurama.
Well, whatever. That's your problem.
That's right.
So moving on. What's our stinker?
What just happened?
Which Robert is what you'll be asking yourself when this movie's over.
No, Robert De Niro plays a studio executive. It's directed by Barry Levinson, and it's just sort of his life's falling apart. And it's one of those introspective Hollywood movies that just doesn't work.
Well, here's the rub. I actually thought this was very funny for about one-third of the film, and then it got unfunny. Very quickly.
Well, it wasn't, the first part wasn't bad, but it completely unraveled.
Yeah, and I don't think it's something that you'll need to pick up on DVD. A rental, maybe, if you're really into like that insider baseball humor about Hollywood.
Or a coffee coaster.
Yeah, fair enough. So, there you have it. Moving on, time for our review wrap-up. We've got Street Fighter, whatever the heck it's called, and
blah, 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 blah.
And the Jonas Brothers in 3D, both of which get preemptive sucks because they were not screened. Though,
take that, Joe Bros.
We have a feeling that the Jonas Brothers thing, it's not going to matter. Yeah. Whether they don't need us to tell you that it's about
Nobody
the
cares
Jonas
what the
Brothers.
Fat guys have to say about the Jonas
right.
Brothers.
Right. Next week, we are going to review Watchmen. We're both going to see it, and it's going to be awesome. Hopefully awesome. Hopefully super awesome. But we'll see. So there's that. In between now and then, if you'd like to get a hold of us, fatguysthemovies.com. You can also email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Be sure to go to iTunes and not only listen to us, but review our show with kind words. And yeah, that's it. Until next week.
Bye.
Awesome.